Welcome to the Risk Course, Relationship, Intimacy, Sex, and Communication, the essential 7-week online course for lasting love and sex breakthroughs with relationship experts Christian Peterson and Sonica Tinker, brought to you by the Mankind Project USA.
Welcome, everybody. We're thrilled you'll join us. This is Sonica and Christian. Welcome to our living room and welcome to the fourth session of the Risk Course. It's session 4, Accessing the Gifts of Conflict.
If you haven't already for this session, you're going to want to make sure you have a pad of paper and a pen. If you're doing this as a couple, please make sure you each have one, because you're going to need that for what we're going to be doing here with you in this course session. Now, I want to say about conflicts that it's a very rich and powerful conversation. We're looking very, very forward to being able to give you a brand new approach to conflict.
Yep, and we're going to give you, which we're really thrilled about, and we use this ourselves, we're going to give you a simple, really effective model for how to resolve conflicts. You know, when you're starting off on different sides of an issue, how do you come to some sort of resolution that has actual solutions in it?
So the first place to start in every conflict is to put a frame of love around the conversation. So how we're going to do that as we're starting off here is for you to look at your partner, make eye contact, take a couple of deep breaths together. One more deep breath. Just let yourself sink up. And just express a couple of appreciations each to each other. Just say something you love and adore about your partner, why they're the best person for you, something you really appreciate about the last week or today that you want to express, so that we can start this conversation off with some love and connection.
One of you start speaking, other person simply receive, and we'll tell you when to switch in the middle. That's about half time. First person wrap up. Person who's been listening, say thank you so much for saying that. And now other person, you go ahead and share appreciations. And start wrapping up your shares. Person who's been listening, say thank you so much for saying that. All right, and if you'll come back to our living room here.
So we want to start with telling you a little bit about what we see the purpose of conflict is. So we think the purpose of conflict is it's a gift intended to help us evolve and reach our full potential. It's a call to rise to new heights of awareness, creativity, power, and love. I want to read this great quote that describes that perfectly. We don't evolve because we're comfortable. We evolve because there are challenges that are shaking us up and inspiring us to innovate and create a new reality of unimaginable greatness. Mostly we don't think like that when we think about conflicts, but really that is our starting premise, is that conflicts are intended to support us when we know how to use them. And we're going to actually give you in this course session a brand new way to approach conflicts so you can milk the goodies in every single issue and problem you have in your relationship and use it to create an even better relationship.
And whereas we are fully aware that often when you are in the middle of a conflict, it doesn't appear that there are any goodies in there of any kind, that sometimes sounds like a ridiculous claim, we're going to show you how to actually milk it for that purpose.
So we've already talked to you about some of the gifts hidden in conflicts from our previous sessions. So we want to go through those briefly here before we jump in and tell you some more of our positive makeups about conflict.
Yeah. So one thing conflicts do is they tell us what we don't want. And by direct extension, then they point us in the direction of what we do want. They tell us what we do want. And you might remember the simple sequence we taught you of what you don't want, you immediately turn to what you do want. And then you immediately look at, well, what's the experience I'm after? And then you look at, how do I make it actionable? You ask yourself, if I were already feeling like that, say, free or connected, what would I do? What would I say? That is how I may turn it into an action. Also, conflicts are revealing to us what we're making up, what I believe, what I perceive, the conclusions I make about you, my partner, about me, and about my world. You remember the stimulus makeup reaction model for human behavior we shared with you.
So now we're going to tell you some of our makeups about conflict that allow us to approach conflict from a very different place in our relationship, and we want to extend this to you.
Yeah.
So one of our makeups is that conflicts are inevitable. You know, as much as we would like to wish that we would never, ever again in our lives have conflicts and problems, we're destined to have conflicts. And partly why we're destined to have conflicts is this next makeup, which is that conflicts are born of desire, of commitment, of something we care about, of a vision we have. You know, if you think about it, if I have a desire, right, a vision of us having one date night a week, and we only have one every 6 months,
There's a conflict.
There's a conflict. But if I only have a desire to have a date night once every 6 months, then there's no problem if that's what we got, right? So conflicts are in part born out of our preferences, out of our desires, out of our vision for something in particular.
Conflicts have a positive intent. Nobody ever creates conflicts with the intention of making your life miserable or, you know, making my own life miserable. There's always, if you look under, there's always a good and innocent, pure-hearted intention. Conflicts happen for us. They help us realize the best of us, our full potential. Although we are aware that sometimes it feels like, you know, I'm just minding my own business, going around being a pretty good guy, and then boom, this thing strikes me like a lightning bolt from a blue sky. In actuality, this is our makeup. They happen for us for a good purpose.
Conflicts are actually telling us something about ourselves. As we've already said, right, they're telling us what we want, what we don't want. They're telling us what our vision is. They're telling us where we are making up something that isn't particularly useful or isn't allowing us to create, you know, to get what we want. They're telling us, they're pointing us in the direction of our shadow. They're helping us see things about ourselves we might not otherwise see, so we can then produce change.
Conflicts are a sign that something new wants to happen. Something wants to change. Something new wants to be created. You can imagine if we're just like perfectly cozy all the time, we might not have so many conflicts, but conflicts show up. It's like rousing us up, like saying, yo, something else wants to happen here. Something better is available.
And here's another one of our makeups that's a pretty a pretty big one actually, is that every external conflict, so every conflict I have with you, is actually a reflection. It's an outer reflection of an internal conflict I am having. And we'll demonstrate that here as we go through this course session. The one thing I'll say is that we just heard someone say to us, you know, conflict is a little bit like, you know, somebody throws salt in your direction. It doesn't hurt unless you have a wound. And that is a really great analogy for how conflicts and problems show up, is that they show up when we have a wound, when there's something unresolved inside of ourselves that it attaches to. And again, it's our makeup that the reason it hurts or the reason it produces discomfort or upset is because there's something that wants to be healed. There's something new that wants to be born.
Yep.
The other thing makeup we have is that conflicts are a mirror to us of something in ourselves we might not otherwise see. So we want in this next exercise to give you an opportunity to explore that.
So here, we want you to think of a simple thing. And that is, think of a judgment you have. If you're with somebody, if you're with your partner here, think of a judgment about your partner. If you're by yourself, think of a judgment about someone.
Or you can think of a judgment you have about your kid or your mom. Anything will do.
Yep.
And you can pick, there are many things that we judge people for. You know, I judge you for being late. I judge you for not helping around the house. I judge you for being judgmental.
Yeah, for being arrogant, for being a control freak, for spending too much money, or being too tight with money, for being too harsh on the kids or too lenient on the kids.
All right, so as soon as you have a judgment, go ahead and take a deep breath and close your eyes. And with your eyes closed, and you think about this judgment you have about this person, something that really irks you, ask yourself here in the privacy of your own mind, how am I just like that? Now, if you're like me, there might not be necessarily a direct correlation, a direct mirror correlation, you could say. So one of mine is, you know, I judge people who are messy. I judge people who are slobs, have dirty houses, tons of stuff everywhere. Well, when I first look at how am I just like that, I'm like, I'm not, I'm orderly. But if I look deeper, well, where am I just like that? Well, one place I'm just like that is there is a bunch of stuff I have that I don't use anymore that I actually don't get rid of. That's one way that I am just like that. Another way that I have noticed I'm just like that is sometimes I create messes in my relationship with people when they don't keep things clean. You know, so I allow that to interrupt my good feeling and relationship. So I create messes around my attachment to cleanliness and orderliness. So look to see where are you just like that. And you might have to look a little deeper to be able to find where you are, but I promise you it's in there somewhere.
So go ahead and we want you to share this with each other.
So go ahead and open your eyes. And just take a moment to share your judgment with your partner and about whoever it is, and then how you're just like it. And partners, if you're listening and your name happens to be included in this exercise, know that your partner is sharing this for the purpose of looking at themselves and creating resolution, not to diss you in this moment. All right, go on ahead.
That's about halftime. First person, go ahead and wrap up. And then other person, your turn to share. And go ahead and wrap up your shares. And if you turn your attention back here, please.
So this is an exercise we would recommend you do several times. Look at where you're just like what you judge. I'll tell you, it's a very fast equalizer for us to be able to see how we are just like all of the judgments that we are running about other people out there. It produces humility and can produce connection. Now, there's one other way that shadow often shows up in our judgments, which is another really enlightening way to look at the things that we don't like in our partners. And that is to ask this question, or these two questions, you could say. Where do I not allow that quality or that behavior in myself?
I'll give you an example. Is, you know, I sometimes judge Sonica or other people for being too lenient or flexible or wishy-washy, and, you know, just letting the kids do a certain activity, for example, that I would have definitely said no to. Where do I not allow that in myself? Or the other way to ask it is, how could I even benefit? How might I benefit from being more like that? Well, I have a tendency to say no fast. And, you know, on the one side, I like that about myself. I have no problem holding boundaries and saying no and keeping my line. That's great. And sometimes I'm so fast at holding my line that I kind of forget to include, say, the kids or Sonica, and include their point of view and say, you know, sometimes my rules aren't always the best. Sometimes having flexibility can produce actually a better result for all of us. One that even I might like better. So sometimes I could benefit from being a little more flexible.
So with this judgment that you just had about your partner or about somebody else in your life, now ask that question of yourself. So go ahead and close your eyes again here so you can just explore internally. And ask yourself, how could I benefit from being more like that? Like, really, where do I not allow it? And how would I benefit from being more like that? Go ahead and take a deep breath as you open your eyes. And just go ahead and share that with your partner. If I was doing this about the mess, you know, I would say, you know, one way I could benefit from being more lax around cleanliness is allowing people to fully express themselves, even if it looks like mess, like put my attention on relationship versus how the house looks. So what is your answer to that question? Go ahead and take turns sharing that with your partner. How could you... Where do you not allow that, and how could you benefit from being more like that? Go on ahead.
That's about half time. First person wrap up. And then go ahead and switch other person share. And start wrapping up your shares. And then turn your attention back here, please.
So again, this is an exercise that you could repeat many, many times. And I'll tell you why we start here is because one of the makeups Christian and I also have about conflict in relationship is we are helping each other develop and grow. So I'm helping him become more lax, right, in the example he used, and he's helping me to hold more lines. We're helping each other, like presumably we picked each other on purpose to help each other develop these places in ourselves where we could stand some development.
Yeah, and also simply doing this simple little exercise, like Sonika said, it's kind of an equalizer. It puts us on the same page because often the conflicts we're engaged in are tense. They're charged, you know, because I get irritated or mad or hurt, and I'm thinking stuff about you. That is, I'm judging you for stuff, for not wanting what I want, for being obstinate or difficult, or for not just agreeing. And it's hard to do any sort of constructive conflict resolution inside a very charged space. And this simple way we just share with you is a good way to kind of diffuse the charge and help to put us at least in the direction of being on the same page.
All right, so now we're gonna keep building here. So for this next piece, we'd like you to pick a specific conflict that you would like to work on, a specific conflict you have in your relationship. And we actually have kind of put together some common topics that people are fighting about or arguing about in their relationship. So you could pick something from this list, or you can pick something else that you have currently going on in your relationship.
The list you see on the screen is, these are all examples we've gotten from other couples in our coaching or in our workshops. So you might recognize some of them or pick your own.
Yeah, so save money versus spending money, time together, time apart.
And if you end up with, if you're together with a partner and you end up with two distinct different ones, please go ahead and pick one you can work with for the purpose of our course here today.
All right, so we'll give you another 30 seconds here or so to decide on a topic. All right, great. So what we would like you to do now is we're gonna support you to take the side you usually take. So let's say ours is about spending money or saving money. And if I'm the one that's usually arguing for spending money, I'm gonna argue for that here, and he's gonna give me all the reasons why he thinks we should save. And how we're gonna do it is we're going to have a conversation using what we call the agreement frame. So the agreement frame is basically where, with whatever he says, I'm going to first join with him around it before I give him my point of view. So the agreement frame are statements like, I can see how you might say that. I understand you, and.
I can appreciate what you're saying there, and.
I hear that, and.
I totally get that, and.
Thank you. That's a really good point.
Yeah, you might be right about that, or you have a really good point there. And so there's always first I take it in, and then it's always followed by and, not but, And then I get to share my piece because we want to both be able to share whatever our pieces are about this.
All right, so we're going to demonstrate this briefly here and then we'll give you an opportunity to practice.
Well, I notice I have a big concern that we are spending way too much money and we are definitely not saving enough money. You know, it's just scary not having some money put aside for, you know, for a rainy day, but really what that means if something happens with us or the kids.
I can really appreciate your desire to make sure we've got money set aside and we don't spend more than we earn. And I also am really clear that I want to enjoy my life now. I don't want to only be saving for a rainy day and not be able to take any trips or, you know, splurge on a really great meal or, you know, taking a little weekend getaway. I really want to also enjoy my life right now.
Yeah, no, I can totally get that. And, you know, I like a vacation as much as the next person. I mean, I like that. I want that too. And we should make sure that vacations don't come before we have the saving portion taken care of. Like, let's save some money and put them aside. And once we reach a level we can maybe agree on, sure, by all means, let's take a vacation.
Well, I can really appreciate that, and that's actually a good idea. And I notice I'm concerned just because this happened, you know, once before my life where it was all about saving, and I never really felt like I got to a point where it was enough to justify being able to have fun, and then we lost everything, you know, and that whole crash happened. So I notice I'm like, you know, saving is like, I want to enjoy it, you know? I don't want to just keep saving and then lose it all anyway. Like, I'd rather spend it and have a good time.
Yeah, no, I see that. That's a really good point. And we just keep going.
So notice we're each making our points, but we're appreciating and really hearing each other before we move on to the next piece. So take a couple of minutes on whatever topic you just picked, and go ahead and do this with each other.
So make sure to do it using the agreement frame. We'll leave it up on the screen here. Every time your partner says something, you reply with one of these things and say your piece.
All right, go on ahead.
Take another 30 seconds. Go ahead and wrap up your shares. And turn your attention back here, please. And good job so far.
All right, now we're gonna have a fun little twist with this. So this will help you do two things. One is see this argument from your partner's point of view, as well as looking to see where it's also true for you, just like we did a little bit with the judgment exercise.
While still using the agreement frame.
And that is, now you're going to have that same conversation, only you're going to argue the opposite point of view.
So if Sonika and I were doing that with our example, I would now be arguing for spending money, and she'd be arguing for why we should really save money. Okay.
All right. So go ahead and do that with each other. Switch roles, argue the opposite point of view using the agreement frame. And as you do that, step inside. Where is that also true for you?
We'll call out time signal. Go ahead. Take another 30 seconds. And go ahead and wrap up your shares. And then turn your attention back here, please.
So hopefully from this, just this little taste, you can sense how it is, where you're just like your partner. So again, when we are approaching or looking at conflict, it always starts off looking like it's you versus me, right? You're over there, you want something different than what I want, and I'm over here, and I want something different than you. And like, there's this big wall between us.
And it looks like we're just going to, so Sonic, we'll just work with our example throughout here. So in our example, it looks like I'm the one, I want to spend money. Okay. That I'm 100% representing that position. And she's 100% representing the position. We should just spend some more money. Okay. And there's this big divide in the middle. I'm over here. You're over there. And really, there's not much middle ground. You know, we can't spend money and save money at the same time. We can't have more sex and not have sex at the same time. We can't go out more or stay home more at the same time. We can't send our kids to private school and to public school at the same time. We can't, so on and so forth.
So it looks like we're on opposite sides and never the twain shall meet. And you'll notice that when we are in conflict also, our attention is all on where we are different. So what is really great about these couple of exercises we've given you so far, looking at where you're just like your judgments and looking at where you also can see the benefit of the other person's point of view. And from there, we can start to see that there's actually a place of overlap in every conflict. So if you look at this next slide here, where we show, instead of it being a you versus me, it's more of a you and me, right? Where there's a place where I want to spend money, you want to save money. And really, if we turn that instead of a you versus me into a we statement, it might be we want to save money and we want to spend money. We want both.
And you can easily see it, actually, if you look a little deeper with our example. It's not accurate that I only want to save, you know, because I want to spend money on food, on our mortgage, on our cell phone bills and our internet. And I like buying ice cream here and there. So it's not accurate that I only want to spend. It's also not, save. It's not also not accurate. She only wants to save.
Spend.
You know, she doesn't want us to have $0 in the bank for a rainy day. That's not accurate.
I don't want to spend more than we make. So from that point of view, we can kind of see, wow, we're both. We both want to spend. We both want to save. We might be a little different in how we think about going about that so far. But there really is this point of commonality. And I'll tell you how we came to this, actually. It was very fascinating because when we would work with people and one person would come, we've just seen this so many times.
These are very real examples.
Where one person will come to us wanting to commit to their partnership, wanting to commit and get married and have children. And the other person doesn't want to commit. They don't want to move in. They don't want to live together. They don't want to get married.
As a matter of fact, Sonic and I started out like that in the beginning of our relationship.
And what was very interesting is we would work on the relationship, and at some point the person who wasn't committed said, oh my gosh, you're the one.
I'm ready now.
And an interesting thing happened. The other person all of a sudden had doubts and questions. Same thing showed up around sex, right? Mm-hmm. One person wants sex, one person doesn't want sex. As soon as we would work with the person who didn't, and they got to a place where they were ready to jump into having sex, the person who wanted it all of a sudden had their doubts and questions and reticence show up. And that is what pointed us to this idea that we're always both, and we're always in relationship with someone who is a perfect match for us. And they're revealing, again, the shadowed part of ourselves that we haven't fully owned or given voice to. So it's a little bit like how I think about like the spending saving example is that Christian is representing the saving voice for the relationship, and I'm representing the spending, enjoying life voice of the relationship.
But that doesn't mean we don't both own
and both
portions. We both own both pieces. Only one of us is a little louder about one of them.
From here, there is the possibility now to explore inside that overlap. What can we do and how can we move to support us being able to both save and spend? So we're going to show you this new circle here. This is what we call our creative conflict solution Venn diagram,
right?
So you'll notice that we've got two different sides, right? So in our example, we've got side one, you know, I want to spend money.
Side two, I want to save money.
Together now, we're going to turn that into a we statement. You're going to want to do this with your example, right? We want to have sex and we don't want to have sex. We want to commit and we don't want to commit.
We want to move out of town. We want to stay where we're at.
We want to have firm lines with the kids and we want to be softer and more understanding and lenient with the kids, right? You want to take that, it's a little bit like the agreement frame, right? You're going to turn it into a we statement so that now instead of there being a wall between us and, you know, we're the problem, it's more like we have this conflict because we want both. We haven't figured out how to do both. And the problem is over there and we're together here now looking at this problem that we've got.
And it's actually a really great physical help. So we start out by being squared off. There's a wall between. It's really great. If you can actually do this at home, change your position so you now sit next to each other at the dinner table or at the desk or wherever you're positioned right now. So you're looking in the same direction and you have the issue, whatever that is in front of you, but you're looking at it from the same direction, being on the same page. And you can now say, like we have up top there on the slide, we want whatever it is, and we want the other side. We want to spend money and we want to save money.
So actually on your piece of paper, recreate this little diagram here. You want to create two overlapping circles. And actually on your sheet of paper, you can actually share one here for this particular purpose. And put on side one, one side of the conflict, whatever it is you were just talking about.
And on side two, write down the other one. Okay.
And as soon as you've done that, now right underneath in the top, just like we have here, right? We want this and we want that. And actually speak it out loud. We want both of these aspects.
All right. So one thing in exploring now, in moving ourselves, so we're starting out from different positions, we're moving ourselves towards where we can find solution. And a really helpful step is to include what we talked about in the second session about the fulfillment formula. So now I'm going to say, I want us to save money, okay? You want us to spend more money and be more easy about it. Why do we want that? Remember that? What's the experience I would have? How would I feel if I knew we saved enough money? And how would you feel if you were secure in that we're going to spend the money we need to and want to? Well, I for one would feel safe and I would be able to relax. That'd be so great. And I could really relax.
And mine is to have fun, being expansive. You know, I notice a word I keep using is enjoying life. I want an experience of enjoying the moment.
And when you look at that, okay, now we have, instead of spending money and saving money, now we have relaxed and safe, enjoying life. Okay, hey, I want that too. I want to enjoy life too. I'm sure you would like to be safe and relaxed as well.
Absolutely.
Those aren't in opposition to each other.
So underneath your individual sides here on this piece of paper, write down what and explore with each other. What's the experience you're after? You know, if you want a clean house and you want to have a lived-in house, right, a messy house, like what's the experience you're after with your particular side?
How would you feel if you could really have it your way?
So go ahead and write that down, and each underneath where it says side one and side two, what's the experience you're after?
All right. Hopefully you were able to get to what's the experience you want. How would you feel if you had your side of the equation?
So now comes the creative part.
The actual solutions part.
So imagine that in the center of the circle, there is an opening, a place where you can come together and new possibilities for how we can both together save and spend. So we both get 100% of what we want. It's not your way or the highway, right? It's our way. What can we invent and create here that is going to support us to both get 100% of what we want? So imagine that in the center, there are several solutions and possibilities.
Yeah, and I want to say, we'll give you some examples of solutions to our conflict we're working with here, but it's really important. So we want you to do it like this. Instead of trying to come up with the one and only solution that you're definitely going to do right now, instead, we want you to try to see if you can come up with 10 potential solutions, 5, 10, 15, however many you can. It's more like it's a brainstorm of possible solutions that might serve to take care of both sides, both the form of what you want, spending money, saving money, and how you would feel, the real experience you're after, safe, relaxed, enjoying life. All right, so it's a brainstorm. Let's see if we can come up with 5 or 10 of them.
So here are some examples from ours, right? So we were actually brainstorming about this yesterday, and one of the ideas we had actually was to do a trade, you know, where we could trade vacations or trade houses with somebody else so that they got to come here and we got to go there, and it might not cost very much money, but it'd be a big adventure for us.
Great idea. I love that. We could set aside, we could make like a little money jar, either, you know, a bank account or an actual money jar, and we could put in a certain amount every month and agree that come whatever, April or March or May, we're going to use that money and take a vacation somewhere.
We could say that we're going to save a certain percentage of the money that comes in, and everything after that is available to spend however we see fit.
You know,
we could have separate individual accounts.
I was just going to say that, yeah. So we have a spending account, each of us. Actually, Sonic and I do this on a regular basis. We have an account each that small amount of money gets put in every month, and we can use it for whatever we please. We don't even have to talk to the other person about it or nothing.
We make sure we pay, this is another possibility, is we pay off our credit cards every month so we don't go into debt. We make sure we never spend more than we're making. And I already said that about like saving a certain percentage every month, so we just know that that money's untouchable for the future.
Another way I can see another potential solution that might serve to, you know, both have some spending enjoyment freedom and also be kind of safe and conservative about it is, we could still have a credit card, but we can put a limit on it. So we could call the company and say, hey, would you cap it at whatever, 500 or 1,000 or 2,000 a month, whatever we can agree on. So we make sure we do have one that we can use, but it will never be more than a certain amount.
We could brainstorm a bunch of really inexpensive ways to go on vacation. So you can kind of get, all we're doing is brainstorming a bunch of possibilities for how we could both save and spend. So you want to do that now with yours, and you actually want to imagine, here we've got a, I don't know if you can see this, where you actually put your possibilities here,
I'll hold it up to the screen so it'll take up the whole screen.
So you want to put your answers in the center, your brainstorm of possibilities in the center.
We typed out some of our answers to this. That's why we have it on a piece of paper. All right, so we're going to give you a little time to actually do that. Just brainstorm. And remember, each of these solutions, it doesn't have to be like the perfect one, just one that could come close. All right, so take a few minutes to do that. We'll call out time signals. Go ahead. Take another minute for this. And start wrapping up your discussion. And turn your attention back here, please. You know, when Sonic and I look at this diagram and how we operate with it is, I kind of think of it as that when you look at the two sides, you know, the side one and the side two, or the circles when they were apart, I think of those as those are two dimensional. They're just flat circles on a piece of paper or on a slide. But when you put them over each other, and that's the space in the middle that says possible solutions, it's like that turns into a 3D space that has depth. You know, it's like a star gate. You know, that once when you have the opening of the gate, there's this infinite space in the middle that has infinite depth, and new things can show up in there that just couldn't show up when we were both in our two-dimensional flat circles that were split by a wall in the middle. And Sonic and I have like innumerable examples, because this is how we deal with all our conflicts where we want two different things to begin with. We have innumerable examples of what shows up in that stargate opening in the middle is something we simply had not thought about to begin with at all. It's a third, fourth, fifth, sixth solution that's better than either of the ones we had to begin with. And you know, a great example, Sonic, I was just mentioning while you were doing your exercises, a few years back, Sonic, I really wanted us to have an updated website, okay? I wanted one that looked professional. I did a lot of research to find companies and people who could offer that service and could make stuff that looked really nice. I didn't just want the next GoDaddy website, you know, that you slap up and pay 10 bucks a month, like the real professional deal. And I found a company after doing a ton of research that would do, I thought, a really nice job for 10 grand. I presented the idea to Sonica, who was like, no, that's not happening. There's no freaking way we're spending $10,000 on a website. You got to be crazy. And we had, some tense moments there. And I'm like, you know, I've researched everything. I've looked at all the options. We just got to bite the bullet. Not that I want to spend a lot of money, but we just got to do it. Okay. It's going to pay off in the long run.
So we actually did this process, exactly what we outlined here. We want a new website. We want to spend 10,000 bucks for it. And through the agreement frame, we actually got to, I'd like a new website as well.
I could see, okay, you have a good point about that. And?
I didn't want to spend 10,000 bucks. So one of the possible solutions, even though we didn't know exactly what it looked like, was how to get a high quality website of the same quality he had researched for 10,000 for a lot less. And in the process, what God opened up for us was a virtual assistant who helped us design a phenomenal website, who has since become an ongoing
support of ours
in our business. And it turned out to be way better than what we would have gotten had we gone with the first idea or had we not done anything at all.
And one of the things that's really helpful is sometimes you can do this process immediately. You just sit down, you draw the circles, and you can literally spit out 10 potential good solutions. Like Sonic and I with the money example, we could do that pretty quick. With the website example, it took a little longer. The whole process took, I don't even know, a week, maybe more, while we worked the process. So it's really helpful if you can be okay with hanging out in a little bit of uncertainty, hanging out in the space where the answer isn't there yet. One of our makeups is that there's always a solution that's going to work for both of us.
And sometimes the answer is in the future. Sometimes the answer is in that portal. And if we just hang out long enough, so there would, like as Christian said, there was a period of time before this virtual assistant possibility showed up. Meanwhile, we're just hanging out in, we know we want something.
I know, we're discussing it using the agreement frame. We're looking at, okay, why do we want our respective sites?
So we know we want a new quality website. We don't want to spend 10,000 bucks. We don't quite know how we're going to do it. So we had to hang out for a little while in lack of resolution land until the solution showed itself. And the same might be true for you in whatever your situation is. And it might actually be beneficial, you know, let's just say you want to do private school, but you don't want to spend the money, but you don't like public school either, to explore other options. It might take a little bit to see, well, what else can we do? We don't like either of those options. And all of a sudden, you know, you discover a homeschooling program that you had never thought of before. So one of our makeups about this whole process is that your concerns are as important as mine. And in fact, why I'm with you is because I have some of those same concerns as well. We're here to balance each other out. We're here to help each other grow. And in that portal, right, of exploring possibilities, there are better possibilities that are even better to support our relationship, to take it to the next level, to take our family to the next level, than anything we've thought about so far in this black or white thinking. Great. The other point I want to offer here as well is, if you have a hard time coming up with solutions, bring in your friends. You know, yeah. For people who are not stuck in your particular conflict or dilemma, you know, we just did this yesterday with other people, and they were having all kinds of ideas for how to bring together this spending saving possibility that we hadn't even thought of.
Yeah, that's a really great idea. All right.
So here's our homework for you this week. Couple things we haven't actually put on the slide, but we really want you to do, and that is the judgment exercise we did of writing down judgments and then exploring where you're just like that or how you could benefit from being more like that. Do this arguing for the opposite side so you can really step inside your partner's world and see the benefit of their point of view and what they're bringing to the party. And then lastly, work this conflict, this creative conflict resolution circles.
Yeah, and a great place to start is you start with this diagram, and you know, like somebody said, you work the process. What are your two sides to begin with? Okay, great. Now speak in we want X and we want Y. Look at, why do we want that? What's the experience we would have if we had that? Okay, find that, and then keep working the circles. Go into that Stargate space in the middle where there's overlap in the Venn diagram, and look at what are 5 or 10 potential solutions that could serve to take care of both of our desires.
You want to stay in there until you come up with win-win solutions. So if one of you is satisfied and one isn't, we always say you stop the conversation too soon. Stay in there.
Right.
Keep coming up with different possibilities until you come up with something you feel, we both feel really good about.
And
one of our makeups is that if you stay in there, you will absolutely land on a solution that takes care of both of you 100%.
Yes, that's great. And one idea for how to apply it is, once you have 5 or 10 solutions, see if you can pick one that you can agree on. Let's try that one. And just try it out. Not like it has to be the one that's fixed in stone forever, just one you can try out. It's a great way to kind of ease the tension and expectations around the whole thing and just be able to, okay, let's try it out.
If you're creative enough, you can always come up with a solution. So I'll just share one, I'll end our time here together with one fun story of a couple where she really wanted to go out. She wanted to dress up and go out to dinner. And he was so tired of working the whole week. He just wanted to stay home and relax.
Yeah, this was about their Friday nights in particular after a long work week.
So they did this process actually. Like, okay, we want to relax and we want to go out. We want to dress up. We want to have fun. And so they did a really fun, they came up with a real fun win-win solution. And that is, when they kind of kept drilling it down, you know, she was like, I don't want to cook. And he was like, I don't want to have to leave the house. I don't want to have to dress up. So they ended up ordering in. So they did take out and they dressed up a little bit. They created this lovely romantic dinner in their living room by candlelight.
And then they set up the dance game on a Wii. And then they had dance competition on the Wii in their living room after dinner.
So they got the best of everything they wanted, which is some activity, some food without having to cook, some time together, and also being able to stay at home.
And they ended up having more fun with just actually the process of coming up with something that was totally different. They had never thought to do something like that. They had just so much fun with creating that.
So have fun with this. Again, in our experience often, what's in the middle is way better than anything we could have thought. And you may find yourself creating some pretty incredible miracles around your conflicts through this process.
Yeah.
So have fun with it. Oh, sorry. One more thing.
I was going to say, we just look forward to seeing you on the next session where we are going to be talking about the healthy masculine, a really juicy and powerful and energetic session we're going to do with you next time.
The energy dance. You're not going to want to miss it.
Oh, it's going to be fun. All right. We'll see you soon again.
Bye, everybody.
The Risk Course, copyright 2016, Mankind Project USA. All rights reserved. No portion of this material may be reproduced without written permission.